Now, here's the Bible reading today from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew and chapter 9 and verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John. This is Jesus, of course. They came to Jesus, the disciples of John the Baptist, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." So we're going to end our reading there at verse 17 of Matthew chapter 9. These were early days in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. His messages and his miracle working power had been creating quite a stir in the Galilean countryside. Religious leaders were coming to him to hear what he had to say. And on this occasion, the disciples of John the Baptist had come, and they asked him, "Why is it that being disciples of John, we fast, whereas it seems that your disciples and you have a much happier time, and there seems to be much more of a party spirit, like the bridegroom and the bride rejoicing together, rather than what we have? We want to know why this is." So they had arrived to inquire of the Lord Jesus what the difference was and why it was that he was so different and his ministry was not like the historic norm. Why that difference? And as I've said already, his ministry and his messages were creating quite a stir around the countryside. So I'm going to try and unpack this little passage today and give you some clarification as to why he speaks about these new things. Because we've got a new kind of situation here in that the bridegroom and the bride and those who are with him are all rejoicing, whereas John the Baptist and the people who traveled with him, it was a much more austere and a regulated and a much more rigid kind of situation than it seemed to be with Jesus and his disciples. Judaism was not all that it could be. Even the Pharisees were aware of its limitations. Perhaps this man, Jesus, could breathe new vibrancy into our historic ritualism. And so they had come to inquire. But they would learn very quickly that this was not a renovation message, nor a refurbishing of the old. It was going to be a new work. Jesus didn't come to patch up the old. He came to give the new. And as I said earlier on, the messages that we've been sharing with you from week to week have been about new things. And again, I say I'm so amazed at how many new things there are spoken about and spoken of in the Bible. And it's when you begin a little series like this that you find them here and there, little jewels all through the New Testament. And it, of course, is set over against the Old Testament and the age of the law. Our Lord employs two illustrations that we have read right here. And of course, maybe if we include in the bride and the bridegroom, then we've got three. But in Matthew 9 and verse 16, Jesus says, "No man puts a piece of new cloth into an old garment." You know, I remember the days away back when I was a boy, when patching a piece of garment was a norm. Because in those days, it was a little tight financially. And mums who were industrious had the ability to take an old garment that had been worn through wear and either darn it or take a piece of cloth from another garment and sew it onto it. So that was something that I can remember. I can kind of visualize this whenever Jesus speaks about it. It was not an uncommon thing in those days of austerity after the war. But the outcome that you had from doing that kind of thing was two textures that didn't match. And the result generally was temporary, because it was inclined to come away at the seams or to rip at the seams. You know, religion is something like that. It's a patchwork of people's own making, and it's very inferior to the solution that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. And what is that solution? Well, his solution is to provide a completely new garment. Why not just go to the shop, we would say, and buy a new garment? Well, as I've said, money was scarce, and people had to make do, and so they tried to make things last out as long as possible. But the Savior coming on the scene brings a whole new paradigm, brings a whole new message to the situation. And he is offering not a patch-up, but something completely new. In fact, it's spoken of as the garment of salvation. And that garment of salvation is available to all the people who are tied up in religion, who have got many things that are like a patchwork of all kinds of beliefs and rituals and ceremonies and this and that, whereas the message of the grace of Jesus Christ is so simple, so free, so full, and so completely new that there's no comparison to that kind of man-made religion. God's provision is divine. It's different. And it took the death of his own son upon a cross to purchase a garment for you and me that is completely new. Now, garments in the Bible speak of character. It speaks of a transformation on the inside. And that's what you need perhaps today. You see, you know, Reverend Eric, I've been doing so much and so many things, but I don't feel satisfied. And I don't have assurance of salvation. And I don't think that what I'm doing is really meeting the deepest needs of my heart. I am seeking. Have you got an answer for me? Yes, I do. And here it is. You know, when the prodigal son, and we read about the prodigal son in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we read about the lost sheep, we read about a lost coin, and we read about a lost son. And when the son comes back to the father and back to the father's house, he is welcomed. And then the father says, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him." Sometimes when people become involved in religious activity, they put on garments. And those garments or those robes have a significance, and I appreciate that and all that may mean for the person who is sincere and working hard within that kind of circumstance. But it will not provide a garment for the soul. It doesn't provide a covering for you in the day of death. It doesn't provide a place of refuge. It doesn't provide what is needed for that event of meeting the Lord, whereas this does. So Jesus said, no, he said, I have not come to sew a patch onto Judaism to make it look better or feel better. I have come to provide a brand new way of life. Salvation through my life, my death, my resurrection. Trust me. Take me as your Savior. Then he speaks about new bottles for new wine. Wineskins were made from the skins of animals, sometimes a goat or a sheep, or maybe even an ox. I was reading a little bit about this, and an ox skin had the capacity to carry 60 gallons, or what would we say, 250 liters of water. and they would string two of those together and put it over a camel. And so you had your 500 liters of water, and you could travel for days and days, and you had got plenty of water. But as the people used those wineskins, whether they were from a smaller animal or larger, when they became old, they became brittle. And if new and unfermented wine was put into them, the buildup of gas as fermentation took place would burst the skins. So both skin and wine was lost. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. And he says, no man puts new wine into old bottles, otherwise the old bottles will burst, and the wine and the bottle will be lost. They will run out, as he said here in verse 17. But people put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. What is the Lord Jesus saying? Well, he's saying that the new life of the Holy Spirit cannot be forced into the old wineskins of Judaism. In the context of the message that he was speaking, new life in Jesus Christ cannot be compressed into the old wineskins, the old stripe of religiosity and religion. The time had come for ancient Jewish religion to be replaced by living Christianity. And isn't that what we experience in the new birth? Isn't that what we know whenever the life of the Holy Spirit comes and possesses us? When we are born of the Spirit and washed in the Savior's blood by faith in His wonderful, precious name and His precious blood, the wine of the Spirit, the new wine in our soul. We need a new heart. We need a new life. To contain that new wine, the old religious way gives way to a new, exciting, vibrant life and relationship. I say again, Christianity is not an old ritual, but a brand new relationship. It can't be compressed into an old routine, but it creates a new creature to allow it to express itself. In fact, the entire passage of Matthew 9, verses 14 to 17, speaks of a threefold or maybe even a fourfold newness in Jesus Christ. He speaks of himself as the physician, and he says, I've come to give spiritual health. He speaks of himself as the bridegroom, and he says, I've come to give new love and new joy. He speaks of himself as the covering, giving us a new robe of righteousness. He speaks of himself as the vibrant Spirit, like new wine, giving us the joy of his indwelling Spirit. You know, in the last book of the Bible, we read these words. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. How about a new you? How about a creation of God that expresses itself in joy and love, and newness of style and mindset, righteousness rather than unrighteousness, the joy of salvation, the new wine of the Spirit of God within your life. This is what Jesus has come to give. Trust Him today for it. Ask Him to reveal Himself and make you the kind of person who can be what He is speaking about right here in Matthew chapter 9, in these verses from verse 14 right through to verse 17.